Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
And this is actually take two of our intro because
the first one was unintentionally creepy, so we decided we're not going to keep that one.
Unbelievably creepy for... Anyway, if I want to be a little bit less creepy and I just want to experience some pleasure in life, is there a website where I could go to get something to experience some pleasure with?
You could go to adamandeve.com, Scott.
My God, I've never heard of that place before. Tell me about it.
Well, if you go to adamandeve.com and you click on some stuff and you buy a few things.
Okay.
You use the code STATIC.
STATIC.
Then you end up getting 50% off of a single item.
50% off of a single item? That's insane. That's almost half.
No, that is half.
Oh, okay.
50% would be half of 100%.
Go on.
I know you're dyslexic, but geez, man.
Oh, you mean that 50%. Okay.
Yes. And then they'll also throw in a mystery gift.
Okay. All right. What is it?
They'll also throw in 3 free DVDs.
The mystery gift is 3 free DVDs?
No.
Okay.
But I'm ignoring you because you're stupid.
Okay.
They'll also throw in 3 free DVDs. They'll even cover shipping in the United States. All you have to do is use the promo code STATIC during the checkout process at adamandeve.com.
That's an amazing deal. And you help me and Josh out because you help keep the lights on.
Right. And I want to mention one other thing that this has been in effect for about 7 weeks now, but I keep forgetting. You can also find us on Stitcher Radio.
Really?
So you don't have to download or sync or anything. You go to Stitcher Radio, click Lost in the Static, and it'll start playing the current episode, and you can also go back through the others. It's basically an instantaneous download.
And they even have an iPhone and iPod Touch, iOS app.
Right. I signed us up. I got us on that. And I keep forgetting to bring it up. So that one's totally on me.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Well, to tell you the truth, I never remembered either. So Stitcher Radio, we're on there now too.
Exactly.
That rocks.
So, all right. We actually got a listener suggestion for tonight's show, and it was a good one, so we're going to do it.
Thank you, Ethan.
Ethan Dexter gave us a suggestion. Scott, you brought up blur blobs in a way earlier episode.
And I do. And I just like saying blur blobs.
I don't like that word, that hyphenated double word, whatever you want to call it.
What do you want to call them? Blobbies?
Mosaics.
But they're not mosaic anymore.
But they're mosaic-ish.
No.
It's the same effect.
No, it's not even close.
Well, the whole point was, like, why t-shirts and road signs and business logos and things like that get blur blobbed out of TV shows and movies. And in some cases, they didn't when they first aired, but all of a sudden now, the clear Pepsi logo is blobbed out. And
yes.
You go, wait a minute, huh?
Yeah. Well, let's say that you're watching a music video from some heavy metal band or something, and there's a t-shirt where or a picture where they've got, boobs on it. That I can understand blurring it out.
Or if it's got a swear word and you're on broadcast TV, right.
Exactly. That I can understand. But yeah, I'm talking about hats that are just like clearly Coca-Cola logos or Pepsi logos or something like that. They're just, you're not going to sponsor our show. We're not going to picture anything about you.
Actually, that isn't the reason at all. It's not more of a, oh yeah, Coke didn't want to pay for this, so fuck them. It is legalese is what it is.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Say you make a slasher film, okay?
Okay. You make a slasher film.
And there's a scene that takes place in a diner. Well, the diner's got a huge Coke logo. The diner you're shooting in has a huge Coke logo on it, okay?
Right, okay.
Well, you could just leave that. Obviously, it adds authenticity.
Yes.
But you'll find in most cases, the producers will tell you, no, you cover that up with something or you black it out. You put something in the shot to block it because it's not so much Coke doesn't want to pay for it. It's Coke might come after us and sue us later. That Coke doesn't want to be associated with a bunch of victims. They don't want to be associated with maybe the killer works at that diner. Coke is associated with a knife-wielding maniac. That's why. It's for legal protection down the road in case Coke would want to sue you.
Okay, because whenever I think Coca-Cola, I always think knife-wielding maniac.
See, it didn't used to be like that. It used to be you could use the other person's logo or whatever it is in any way you wanted. There was a movie, I cannot remember what it was. It was in the early 80s, you know, back in the height of the Cold War. And Pepsi and Coke were not even remotely subtle in what they were doing. All the good characters drank Coca-Cola. All the communists drank Pepsi.
Ooh.
Coke sponsored was one of the sponsors of the movie. And one of the things was you make Pepsi look bad. You know, commies drink Pepsi.
Oh, yeah, of course they do.
Red-blooded Americans drink Coke.
Excellent.
So, I mean, that has changed. You can't do that now. There's no way you could do that now and have Coke pay for a movie and you intentionally make Pepsi look bad. You couldn't do that nowadays.
It's almost a shame. And really, I see them the little blurry blobs on TV. And to tell you the truth, they serve the exact opposite effect.
They draw your eye right the fuck to them, don't
exactly.
they?
Exactly. Especially if it's a guy wearing a blur blob t-shirt.
Well, even not so much. Like, I saw a CSI. I mean, I gave up on that show shortly after Lawrence Fishburne joined the cast, so I'm thinking 4 or 5 years at this point.
Not even that long, but okay.
Okay. Well, they're obviously shooting on the Strip. No problem. And, like, half of the business logos are... And I'm going, really? I would think when you're shooting on something like the Vegas Strip...
Right.
You would get the rights clearances or... the little waiver that we don't have to blob everything out after the fact.
Especially something as iconic as the Vegas Strip, which...
It was clearly, like, one of the things Blur blobbed out was a Pep Boys logo. I mean, you can tell because they got those giant heads and stuff. You could still see the giant heads. It was just the actual letters that were Blur blobbed out. So it was clear what the business in the background was.
Have you seen the other solution that I've seen? And that is where... they will leave the sign, and instead of blur blobbing it, they will computer in, like, instead of Pep Boys, it becomes Pip Boz or something like that.
Actually, it's even worse now with advertising.
Okay.
You've heard about the CG billboards and CG commercials in old TV shows.
I have. And yeah, they're billboards and stuff from modern films.
Yeah, let's explain that for
maybe
people that don't.
Go right ahead.
Say you're watching a Law & Order episode from 1993.
Okay.
Okay? And they're walking down Manhattan. And originally, there was a big poster. Because, you know, they wouldn't, again, back then, you didn't have to worry about covering up what was just out in the...
So you would see, like, a billboard for Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cats, which is no longer running.
Right. Well, now you'd have... And this came out for the movie Bad Teacher, was the first one that started doing this really bad. Bad Teacher... their producers would pay them to CGI a bad teacher billboard over that. So it's like I'm watching an episode shot in 1993 for a movie that came out in 2010. Wait, something's wrong here. And they've done that with the Friends episodes. They've done that with Seinfeld's. You know, all of a sudden the billboard outside the window will be for some modern movie shot 10 years after the episode. Or if they're flipping channels, it'll be, all of a sudden an ad for How I Met Your Mother that Seinfeld is watching a commercial for that. That to me is just sickening, Scott. It's sickening.
I don't know if it's sickening. It's kind of silly.
It's sleazy,
It's really a shame because...
it's culture shocky, too.
Well, it's culture shock. Like, plus, you know, sometimes in those old... what am I thinking of? Like, if something is set in the 30s and a character is listening to an old-time radio... and there's obviously a live commercial on. Sometimes those real commercials, that's about the only place you can find them anymore.
There's that. Something else, just a minor thing that bugs me, is when you have a movie set in the past, you know, a period piece.
Yes.
And they cannot timestamp it right. When you have a movie set in 1949 and they make a reference to Godzilla, which didn't come out until 1954, and you go... No, that character would not have referenced Godzilla.
Or when you have Roman gladiators wearing sneakers.
Or the nitro used to make the chariots flip over that you can clearly see during the flip shots.
Yes,
yes. In Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, they got those big long open sleeves, and you can see they're wearing watch. The actors have left their watches on and shit.
But you know, at least with the nitro and stuff like that, it's in a quick shot, and really, and you're probably going to hit me for this, but during the days of VHS and stuff like that, it was less noticeable than, say, on the nice, crisp, clean Blu-ray.
I'll give you that. But it's like, in my opinion, part of it comes down to laziness. You know, like the Porky's movies all take place in the 50s. Every single Porky's movie has a reference to Star Trek in it, which didn't debut until 1966. Everyone has a, like, he's dead, Jim, or I'm not a doctor, or beam me up. And you go, these characters would not be referencing Star Trek. That doesn't exist. You know, how hard was it for the fucking writer to go, well, that's in the 60s, this is in the 50s, so we'll still make the joke. That's lazy.
He was probably thinking, nobody remembers when this stuff was, so.
Except people like me.
It was, well, of course.
There are people like me that ruin movies for the people like you.
That's right.
That's my purpose here, Scott.
You serve your purpose well, Josh, very well.
You know, I mean, to be fair, there are even people that are too nitpicky for me.
Oh, I've met them.
I mean, I remember talking to somebody who was a big gun nut, and he was watching Goodfellas. And he's like, oh, that scene in 1980, those guns they were buying weren't available till 1981. God, he's like Martin Scorsese should be fired for that. I'm going, all right, that's nitpicky even for me, man. It really is.
To tell you the truth, the most nitpicky people I've met, have you ever been to an SCA event, or are you familiar with the SCA?
No.
Okay, the SCA is the Society for Creative Anachronism. And basically, they're the ones that recreate the Middle Ages.
Ren
only,
fairs.
Only they, well, yeah, like Ren fairs. They take out all the bad stuff in the Middle Ages, put in the good modern stuff like plumbing and cleanliness, and that's what you get. Well, when you get into like fighting school at the SCA and a couple other places, you get what we call garb Nazis. So, and it's really bad with Civil War reenactors too.
I don't get them on a totally different level, but that's a different show.
But yeah, and I love that stuff.
Of course.
Nonetheless, with the SCA, you'll have, for instance, I've got a Scottish great kilt. Now, it's not meant to be period in any way, shape, or form. It's a nice.
But somebody's going to pick it apart that, like, you know, that patch didn't come until like 9 years before the skirt was.
Well,
the skirt, kilt. You know, sorry. That was
okay.
Freudian.
It's
sorry.
Okay. It's been called worse. In fact, I was camping once and I had on my great kilt and I had on my back a broadsword. And I, or no, not a broadsword. I had on my back a claymore.
Okay.
And I had my dirk and my shendu, which were, you know, the dirk is the side dagger and the shendu is even smaller. It goes in your sock.
Okay.
And my tall boots and everything like that. And I'm walking around and this guy walks up to me. He goes, that's the worst Sailor Moon costume I've ever seen.
Jillian would have said that to you too.
See, and I just had to laugh and then cut him. But
so you're saying you cut a bitch?
I cut you so hard, you're going to wish I never cut you so hard.
That was awful.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, continue.
But you'll have, like, the garb Nazis, especially with the Civil War reenactment, you'll come up and they'll be like, well, your jacket is correct and your trousers are correct, but your buttons are wrong. Your buttons should have looked like this, or there's no way that your character could afford those epaulets. And, you know, And they'll sit there and they'll pick you apart and pick you apart and pick you apart to the point that was one of the reasons why I actually got out of the SCA, because I've been to very few SCA events, but because I go to have a good time and cook and eat period food.
But see, I think movies are different. When you are, you've got a $10 million plus budget, there are people whose job it is to make sure that kind of stuff is accurate. If you went to a restaurant and they constantly screwed your food up, the cook would be fired. You go into Hollywood and they constantly screw the continuity up, Oh, you're going to promote him.
Well, yeah, I can
it's what Kevin Smith calls failing upward.
Where did I hear that reference? I heard that reference somewhere else before, too.
Kevin Smith's the first place I heard it. He's like, only in Hollywood can you fail upward.
That'll work. But, I can see your point with movies, but, you know, sometimes you even with a $10 million budget, you look at your budget constraints and you go, close enough.
And see, I don't like close enough. I mean, if you're doing a period piece, it even bothers me. One thing I will give Mel Gibson credit for is doing Passion of the Christ and Apocalyptico in the original languages and making them subtitled.
Yeah, I'll
give him that because it really bothers me when you see a piece set in, you know, 800 Germany or Prussia then, and they're all speaking English. You go, no, they didn't.
Well, one of the best examples of that was Marie Antoinette. And I forget who the heck it starred, some hot blonde actress at the time. But with Marie Antoinette, not only did they speak English, but they spoke English with some modern, not all the time, but some modern slang snuck its way in.
I hate that,
And they used an all-modern soundtrack. So you're like really into Versailles during the French Revolution, and you're getting into it, and you're kind of, you know, all right, suspension of disbelief. We'll let that slang roll, and then boom, the music comes in, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, I am watching a movie. This
Lady Hawk, Matthew Broderick basically played Ferris Bueller in that,
right?
And it had an all synth soundtrack,
right?
In like this sword and sorcery world, and you go, no. This does not work.
See, but I loved Lady Hawk.
But you tell me on a critical level that synth soundtrack does not work for that kind of movie. That was a bad creative choice.
One place where it did work. Now, given I prefer the British release of this because they used an original orchestral, but I also love the American release where Tangerine Dream redid the soundtrack in kind of a new agey synthy sound, and that's Legend.
See, I still
not Legend.
Tangerine Dream did the Legend soundtrack.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, Legend then, and that works for me because that is kind of a fantasy world, and let's face it, you can't really get more unreal instrumentation or, you know, fantastic sounding instrumentation than with a synthesizer.
Right, but then you also have, and this isn't even our topic. We'll actually get back on topic in a second. Like, have you seen Dumb and Dumberer when Harry Met Lloyd?
No.
It takes place in the late 80s, and the opening shot of the movie is Lloyd singing Ice Ice Baby, which wouldn't have been made for four years after the movie takes place. And you go, right there, the opening shot of your movie is a mistake.
Well, this was Dumb and Dumber.
All right, X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Okay.
Opening shot of the movie is the flashback to whatever Canadian province it took place in and then whatever year it was.
Right.
And now, I wouldn't have known this if I hadn't have had somebody point it out to me, but I Wikipedia'd it. The year they give, that wasn't a Canadian province till 4 years after the year that this takes place. And you go,
oops.
Guys, a simple Wikipedia search. Boom. Right there. Problem solved. Oops. Lazy. Lazy filmmaking.
All right. This doesn't work. Let's move it to Newfoundland. Because everything good happens in Newfoundland.
But see, our actual topic, I wanted to talk about like how the blur blobs lead into how we've changed socially, when it comes to TV, radio, music, print, what is acceptable and what is not. You know, like things that used to be you could not say on TV. Remember when you could not, for any reason, say the word nigger or kike or dyke or anything like that on television?
Right.
Now, ABC Family, you can say the word nigger. And it's like, this is ridiculous. I remember when, do you remember the All in the Family pilot? Obviously, you and I were not born when it aired,
but
do you remember just hearing about the controversy? How there were stations that refused to air that.
Oh my! When it comes to All in the Family, I couldn't watch it if Mom was around.
Well, first of all, that show groundbreaking on every level. but it's so tame by today's standards. I mean, your average episode of According to Jim is more graphic.
In some ways, but for some reason, with All in the Family, the blatancy
it was honest. His racism was an honest.
It was an honestly racist character, and that to me is still somehow a little bit more shocking than seeing what I would call nonchalant racism.
Right.
That I see today. It's still somehow shocking, though. More shocking to me than even though you're right. There are more graphic things on ABC Family. Or
do you remember NYPD Blue's pilot episode?
No.
And the controversy around that in 92, 93? I think it was 93.
It wasn't their opening. That's not the one where you saw Dennis Franz's butt, was it?
David Caruso's butt, actually.
David Caruso's butt, but, whatever.
Okay, you know how they have like a cold open? You know, they have they always have a scene before the opening sequence.
Right, right.
Well, the cold open of that is Dennis Franz being picked apart in court, and then he walks out to the character that would become his future wife, grabs his crotch, and goes, "Ipsidis, you pissy little bitch."
Okay.
There were stations that dropped NYPD Blue after that. People only got the first 5 minutes. They went, "Get this off my station."
Wow.
Owners pulled it. And then there were stations across the country that refused to carry the show at all because they heard that it was going to be so graphic. That they heard it was going to be what they called at that time an R-rated cop show on network television.
Okay.
We were not one of them. Green Bay, we got the whole series. Our station at least stood up for it at that point.
Well, that's good.
But, you know, now you look at NYPD Blue and you go, there are episodes of Law and Order from last year that I'm way more graphic in. I mean, Special Victims Unit. I can't believe some of the dialogue in that. I'm going, that's stuff that Oz would have had trouble talking about, these subjects in 1997.
Some of the dialogue and some of the things that actually happened. You know, even looking at shows like even Bones to an extent, but especially CSI, you would never see that graphic. You know, CSI is always like, and the knife came into his chest and pierced
the
blah.
And then the huge, disgustingly CG'd close-up.
And it happens. And I look at that and I'm like, there is no way that would make it onto primetime television.
Even in the 90s, really.
I was
going
to say 10, 15 years ago, it would never happen. But or you know, maybe with CSI it was just starting.
I think CSI
but
was 99, so that I think that still was 90s.
Okay,
I think the first season was 99.
But let's face it, 99 is basically 2000.
I'm just saying, technically, that was a 90s show.
Come on, Josh, close enough. but yeah, you know, and it seems like as CSI progressed through their seasons, they got more and more and more stuff like that. And some of that stuff is not all CGI, by the way. Some of that stuff is done practically.
Well, like the CSIs and CIS, Bones, shows like that, they became known as the gross-out shows.
Right.
Whatever you do not eat dinner during CSI or you will not finish dinner.
Or you come from a medical family like me and you look up at Dad and go, is that right? Pass the popcorn. And you'd be like, yeah, that's pretty much what it looks like. You know.
But that also brings in what's called the adjective creep. You know, you get like, I first heard the term called porn creep.
Okay.
Whereas you watch so much porn, you have to keep watching more and more graphic and stranger stuff to get off because the normal porn that used to get you hard doesn't get you hard anymore. It's called porn creep, that you just get so desensitized. And that's what happened with CSI and the violence. You look at those first seasons, they're tame compared to the gore fest and the gross out fest there. Because it was like, we have to keep one upping what last season's gore content was.
Yeah. But, and there's actually that whole porn creep idea. We can go into that later, but I had heard it and I've done some checking and it's, people are always looking for something different. They're not necessarily looking for more graphic. They're looking for different. But no, I definitely understand. You know, it's like Lost. Lost started, I think, with a pretty interesting premise. people
sure
land
as fuck
on
didn't end in it.
Yeah, people land, you know, crash on an island and have
weird
to survive, and weird stuff happens. And
stuff.
And I would say that with Lost, you had conspiracy creep because you started out
even before Lost. Go to the X-Files.
Yeah,
you know the X-Files, and I'm gonna blame some of it on Chris Carter.
Okay,
I'm gonna blame most of it on Fox.
Okay.
Was, you got to remember, most of the plot lines were wrapped up in X-Files' first season finale because they thought they were canceled.
Right.
But after they were picked up, Fox said, we always have to have like three mysteries going on at some time. So Chris Carter basically got the dictate from Fox, you are not allowed on this show, to the writers, you are not allowed to solve any of the mysteries without raising three more mysteries.
Yee.
So if you answer one question, three more questions have to be brought up because there always has to be a, oh, I need to know, I need to know.
Right.
And that's what killed it because, I'm sorry, as fans, we wanted, just finish it all fucking ready, you know?
Well, Lost was the same way.
Well, that's why I wanted to go back to the X-Files first because that's what started it. And then Lost fell into the exact same trap. It just kept getting more and more ridiculous as it went. And yeah, X-Files and Lost both had pretty lackluster shit finales too.
Yeah, they did. So yeah, we've got the gore creep, the mystery creep, the conspiracy creep, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, I noticed something else, and I'm wondering if you've noticed this. I was watching Discovery Channel the other day, and I forget what show I was watching, but it wasn't Mythbusters.
They have shows that are not Mythbusters?
Yes, they do.
Wow. Okay.
And they were doing an interview with a gentleman, and I noticed that the background was rather artfully crafted. It was one of the Drape backgrounds.
Oh, yeah. You brought this up the first time we talked about blur blobs. And
yeah, and I know it was a plain background, and everything's good, and it was a Drape, an obvious, you know, photographic Drape type background. And then they cut away to something and they cut back to him, and over his shoulder is a Mythbusters poster that just magically appeared on the Drape.
CGI advertising.
And then, yeah, and then they cut away and then they come back and it's gone. And I've noticed that in more than one show, not just on Discovery Channel. Saw it on, all of their channels, because I saw it happen in History with Pawn Stars. You know how behind they usually have some cabinets of some display stuff.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden one door of that cabinet bit will be replaced with a, you know, mysterious floating poster.
See,
for
I haven't seen those.
American
I did notice like
and stuff like that.
Like on AMC, okay? AMC shows Walking Dead, and they have that horrid fucking Kevin Smith minstrel show, Comic Book Men.
Still never seen it.
Don't. It is a minstrel show for comic book fans. It's every single thing that's wrong with the mainstream ideal of what a comic book fan is.
Right.
He plays it all up for laughs.
Oh, boy.
And it's insulting.
But he would never do that.
Of course not. Well, it's really conspicuous because, you know, it takes place in a comic book store. And unless they're actually talking about like a Thor comic or something, it's pretty damn conspicuous that all of the items up by the counter are either Jay and Silent Bob related or Walking Dead related. And I'm going, huh.
Okay, the Jay and Silent Bob related, I can understand.
It's his store,
it's
right.
His store.
But I find it funny. You guys are on after Walking Dead. All the comics around the register, Walking Dead. The action figures on the wall behind you, Walking Dead. I'm like, huh. Wonder if AMC had anything to do with that. Huh, Mr. Smith, I'm an artist and I have integrity. No, you don't. You cashed a fucking dump truck full of money.
Well, I'll be honest, you drive a big enough dump truck full of money up to my driveway.
We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, he tries to call himself an artist, and he's not at this point. He's a sellout. But what it comes down to is it's like very conspicuous. Huh, you're on AMC, which owns The Walking Dead, and all your product placement is Walking Dead. Subtle. Real fucking subtle.
Maybe they also did it so that they didn't have to clear the rights with Marvel or DC and... You know, maybe they went to Marvel and went, hey, we want to have some Avengers stuff up here. And they went, okay, but you're not allowed to have any DC stuff anywhere in the store ever.
See, I don't think they can do that the way modern stuff, the way modern agreements are. I don't think you can say you can have our stuff, but you can't have something else. I don't think, because I think that would be unfair competition, because then it would be whoever pays more can kick the other one out. And right. I don't think that is legal.
I don't know, honestly. But, you know, maybe it was something like that, or they didn't want to bother clearing the rights or something. So, yeah. And
or it's just they wanted to advertise Walking Dead.
Or it's just they wanted to advertise Walking Dead. And last I checked, there is no Mad Men comic yet.
I'm sure there will be. I wouldn't be surprised if I was actually a little surprised there weren't like Mad Men DVDs,
fanfic,
you know,
doesn't
up
count.
There, you know, and things like that. I was actually kind of surprised at that.
It could work.
But like, let's talk of music. Do you remember when a female artist couldn't even say the word sex or laid or anything and still be played on the radio?
Yeah.
Now they're talking about swallowing cum and pop songs.
Well, you know, I think I noticed when that changed.
Okay.
And it was back in the 90s, and it was during Madonna put out Erotica. And really the one that absolutely swooped in and made a huge change was Sophie B. Hawkins.
Refresh.
Damn, I wish I was your lover, blah, 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 blah.
No, I don't remember that at all.
Okay, hold on.
No, just, we're not going to.
Hold
no,
on.
Not.
Okay, so I won't play the whole thing, but it's this song.
It's like a beach or a train?
No, it's a train.
This is boring.
I know this is boring. No, not once you hear the lyrics, which do come along.
That old dog has changed you up, alright.
No, this is the first time I've
ever
heard
this. Give you everything you need to live inside a twisted cage, sleep inside an empty rage.
Wait.
I had a dream I was your hero.
But that came out about the same time as Madonna's Erotica,
okay,
and Justify My Love and all that kind of stuff, and it really capped in the mid '90s with I can't remember the artist's name, but the song's name was Bitch.
I'm a bitch. Meredith Brooks.
Meredith Brooks.
Thank
you.
She was like fucking MILF hot. Like, oh my god. I totally had a thing for her. She was just fucking MILF hot like you wouldn't believe.
Dude, Sophie, trust me. I know what you're talking about. And for some reason, another one of my music crushes was Edie Brickell.
Okay, you and I are done as friends, man. We are fucking done as friends with that one. But no, see, the Meredith Brooks, I know exactly what you're talking about with the whole I'm a goddess on my knees line.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, first, that's fucking hot.
Yes.
But second, yeah, I'm surprised that got mainstream radio play.
Yeah. And, you know, well, given the fact that Melissa Etheridge, come to my window and.
What's the one about eating pussy? Everlast.
Witch.
No. It's like the whole thing, constant craving.
Yeah.
That's it.
But yeah, and we saw this switch in music before we saw it on TV. But, you know, and then you had the Red Hot Chili Peppers come out with the socks on their junk. And that was big and shocking. And I don't know if you remember a band called Jane's Addiction.
I hate them, but yes.
I know. But they had a...
pretentious shit.
But they had, for their cover, they actually had classical art of...
Oh, yeah, and it had the
women.
Boob. It had the boob. That
well, it had boob and bush.
Yeah, people had objection.
And you know, they took it off and ended up with a white disc with the First Amendment printed on it in black. Luckily, I still have my original disc with the carver.
Okay,
but
you actually made me think of something.
Sure.
Along that same line. Okay, like, you know how Walmart would require bands to either change the cover art, you know, just like the Jane's Addiction
right.
thing, or change the song titles. Remember how, you fucking pretentious shit, that Nirvana, remember how Rape Me had to be changed to Waif Me.
Yes.
For the Walmart version.
And they had to, they didn't put a swimsuit on the baby, but they had to like edit out the baby's peenie.
Yeah. Well, I was in Walmart the other day. Remember, this is the store that they won't carry porn, you know, for DVDs. They won't carry
explicit lyrics or
right, taboo. Explicit lyrics. You know what they have in their $10 section?
What's that?
The original Last House on the Left and I Spit on Your Grave.
Well, I don't see
and I'm going, okay. It's like, really? These are okay, but you make Nirvana change the name of their this is dumb.
Yeah, and I'm not quite sure where that whole switch came, really. I mean, I know it hit music first and then it hit TV, and I think maybe that's what makes the Blur Blob so shocking. Is that we've seen all of this stuff that you would expect to be edited out. You know, you and I growing up in the 80s and 90s watching TV then, and especially watching edited TV movies, you know, Mother, Father, and stuff like that, you expect this to be edited out, and it's not. So when we do see a Blur Blob, well, it's like, oh, what's under there? That has to be really bad.
Well, and then it also comes down to, I mean, the Blur Blobs nowadays usually are for legal reasons.
Right, I know.
And nothing else. But there also goes back to, there are certain things you could do on TV back in the day that you could not do now.
Like what?
Do you remember when David Morse got gang raped on St. Elsewhere?
No.
It was fucking graphic. And this is like 86.
Now, did it happen off screen or was this?
On screen. I mean, you know, it was on his face and whatnot. The camera was on his face, but his character was volunteering in a prison, and then a riot happened. And so three prisoners held him down. One puts lube all over his hands, pulls his pants down, and then it goes to his face. And I'm going, holy shit.
Yeah, I don't see that.
You couldn't show that today. And then they realistically dealt with the aftermath of that, both the medical and the psychological impact of what happened to his character throughout the rest of the series. And then, hell, they even brought when his rapist got paroled. You know, he wanted to kill the guy. And, you know, it was a very realistic portrayal. I mean, The Shield did that, too, when Captain Aceveda got raped, when he was forced to go down on two gang members with a gun to his head. And they very realistically dealt with that. But even that wasn't as graphic as the St. Elsewhere episode from the 80s. And that was on cable. And that was The Shield.
Yeah.
You know, a show that pushed the fucking boundaries for cable graphicness.
Yeah, I can understand. You know, and yeah, you probably wouldn't see. I think today it could go one of two directions. You could go the Oz direction, which is just fucking show it.
Yeah, they didn't show was the close-up of the penis in the butt.
Yeah,
that's pretty much all they didn't show on Oz.
But and that was just, you know, put it in your face or put it in his face, and then we'll put that in their face.
Yeah,
you know, and that I can, you know, you can go that direction, or you can go the what I always call it the commercial implication. Guess what happened during the break.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you see him lubing up the hands, you see him pull down the pants,
quick shot of the face,
and then you cut to commercial, and then you come back, and they find him passed out somewhere. And, you know, CSI was actually really, there was Georgia Fox's character got raped.
Oh, that must have been after I quit watching, okay.
No, this was, Grissom was still around. But
I don't remember that plot line.
But yeah, she or maybe it was between Grissom and Fishburne. But nonetheless, somebody slipped a Mickey in her drink after she was done with work, and she got picked up by Smooth Guy, and then they cut to commercial, and when they come back from commercial, she's in hotel room.
No, okay, I know what you're talking about. That wasn't Georgia Fox's, that was the older chick, the one from China Beach. And the rapist was her real-life husband.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you got the wrong. That's why I'm not remembering that character? Because I'm like, you got the wrong kid. That was Catherine that got raped like
that. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and like I said, the rapist is her real life husband.
Oh, okay.
Which must have been kind of awkward.
I can't believe she would marry her rapist like that.
Hey, it happens.
You know, when we talk about fandom, that's where the separation needs to happen right there. That was a demonstration.
It was also a joke.
Exactly.
But yeah, you threw me by having the wrong character get raped there.
I apologize.
You know, but it gets to a point, even just storyline-wise, everything has to constantly one-up itself. You look at a show like Sons of Anarchy. The first season is so tame compared to where season 4 was. Yet, the first season was fucking shocking. When those were new and we didn't know where these plot lines were going. And I think that's endemic of us, you know, our culture. We always want more. It's got to be bigger.
Well, another one was your favorite show that I tried watching, and Burn Notice.
It's not my favorite show, but I like Burn Notice, yes.
You like Burn Notice. And
that's another X-Files Lost problem. We can never solve the mystery.
I remember when it was first on and you told me and you were like, this is an excellent show.
Because it was then.
And we talk about it now, and it seems like you can't put a cap on a story. You can put a cap on one story, you know, one storyline, and three other caps fly off.
Yeah,
so,
you know, and I think part of the reason for that is Twin Peaks. And I'm not complaining about Twin Peaks in this aspect, because I'm a big Twin Peaks fan. Twin Peaks, you know, obviously the big motivation was who killed Laura Palmer. Right?
Right.
Well, they solved that about 6 episodes into season 2.
Yes.
All done, all wrapped up. Well, the show lasted like another 8 episodes. And everyone's like, oh, it's pointless now. It's just meandering. There's no overarching plot. It's just the weird lives of these characters. Yeah, and they had the balls to actually cap off the plot line and the show kept going. I thought those last few episodes were still decent.
Sure.
I don't understand why everyone, oh man, without an overarching plot, what's the point? Well, I'm not invested anymore. Then you're an idiot.
I like the characters.
Yeah. And I like the world.
But this is one where I think the Brits have it right.
The 6-episode season?
The 6-episode season, you know that there's going to be an overarching plot line, and then they wrap it up at the end of six episodes. In the case of Top Gear, you do 6 episodes that they're usually, believe it or not, is a slight story arc on Top Gear. It's very tiny and paper thin, but it's there. And it's wrapped up at the end of the 6th episode. Then they do a Christmas special. And the Christmas special is kind of a big hurrah. And then they might introduce something. In Doctor Who, they've done the same thing.
I have not watched New Who.
Okay. In New Who, you'll get a 6-episode story arc. And, you know, usually by the end of that 6th episode, it's wrapped up and it's capped. And then they do a Christmas special and it's a big hurrah and yay, Doctor Who is back and here's some neat. And then at the end of the Christmas special, they'll kind of introduce what's coming up on the next season.
Well, but some people complain when a show has an arc and they don't deal with it. You remember the X-Files? Oh, it's just a Monster of the Week show. It's not dealing with the conspiracy. And you know what, guys? The Monster of the Week episodes were some of the best ones.
Yeah, they were.
Because they were not bogged down into that never-ending conspiracy.
Yes.
It was like just they're fighting a sewer monster this week. That's pretty fucking cool.
Yep.
You know, I mean, people complain about Justified like that, the Justified show. About half of the season is the story arcs, and the other half are just standalone episodes. I think the standalone episodes are pretty damn good. I don't understand why people go, oh, it's not part of the arc. It doesn't matter.
I miss episodic television. I really do. Because, you know, sure, you see it in sitcoms and some of the lighter fare, and usually in comedies, they're still pretty episodic. But do you remember episodic drama?
Yeah.
When it would start at the beginning of the show? And end at the end of the
show. Which is more like what Law and Order is.
And there would occasionally be, you know, multi-episode arcs it was a B storyline or a C storyline. And that was cool. I miss that. I really do, just because sometimes I want to catch a show and not get that invested.
But on the other side, you've got like the difference between the three Stargate shows.
Okay.
Stargate SG-1 was just like what you talked about. As long as you know like the premise of the Stargate traveling to other unit, you know, other Stargates and other galaxies.
Yes.
Most of that series, you could jump into any episode and know what the hell was going on.
Okay.
Other than, you know, a multi-arc, you know, multi-episode, like a three-parter or something.
Right. Well, TBCs are
right
in a different league of their own.
Right. And then Stargate Atlantis was a little like that, but it had a little more of a continuity arc. And then Stargate Universe, the one everybody hated except me, which I thought was absolutely brilliant, said, fuck you. You have to see every goddamn episode to follow the current episode. I loved that. I'm like, because you actually see the characters grow over the course of the season. Not, okay, in episode 8, character B did this. In episode 10, character B did this as well, but it's the same character. Stargate Universe, by episode 8 and 10, that character had learned something or grown as a character. I loved that. Fans hated it. I don't want to have to remember the last 20 episodes to know what's going on.
See, but I think CSI does that right. And they even did this with when Grissom was around and when you were watching, because their characters, they did grow per episode. You know, look at the one that started out as a lab tech and then went out into the field.
Greg?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and he, of course, you know, grew, and we kind of got a glimpse into their personal relationships, and there was growth throughout the seasons. And throughout the show, but at the same time, I knew that by the end of that hour, that crime is going to be wrapped up.
Yeah, that's the other thing I didn't like about like NYPD Blue, Law and Order, and that. Other than rare occasions, you always knew the murder committed in the first 5 minutes or the murder that they show up to is going to be solved in the last 5 minutes.
Yes.
The way Harlan Ellison put it back in the 70s was every Kojak episode is the same way. You watch the first 5 minutes, turn the TV off and go make some dinner. You watch the last 5 minutes, you've got the whole episode.
Yeah.
Especially in the 70s, that's the way cop shows were.
Exactly.
Everything after the first 5 minutes until the last five was filler.
They've kind of gotten away from that.
I'm sorry, but the CSIs and the Law and Orders and that, they still are that.
Yeah.
Don't need to see the middle in most part.
They're called procedurals for a reason. They follow a procedure.
Well, but then you have ones that, like me, I don't care about the mysteries on NCIS anymore. I watch for the characters. I much prefer the character interactions with each other than the actual who killed the sailor.
One of my big TV crushes right now, Pauly Perret.
Oh, you really like Abby?
Yeah. Well, I was introduced to the actress through Abby. But all of the speaking engagements and stuff that I've seen Pauly Perret, the actress, do, she seems really, really cool. And I had no idea she's, almost in her mid-40s now.
You want to see something fucked up? I mean, or I should say hear something fucked up?
Sure.
Go grab the original Snatcher video game, the Sega CD PC game.
Okay.
She is the voice of the teenage prostitute.
Oh, wow.
Which is one of the main characters in that.
Oh, weird.
It was one of her first roles as Pauly Perret was in that.
Me.
Yeah, so you actually hear Abby in the old Snatcher game as a teenage, I think she's like a 14-year-old prostitute. Now.
Wow, okay.
Or sorry, in the American version, she's 18.
18.
Yeah, in the original 18. Version, she's fucking 14.
No, she's not. She's 18. She's always been 18. What are you talking about? Just like Jodie Foster in...
Taxi Driver?
Taxi Driver, yeah. 13 years old, $13. You could never get away with that on TV in the 80s, and I think it's come back around to you might be able to hear that line again, and maybe they'd overdub 18 years old for only $18. You know?
Well, speaking of that, in our last few minutes, when I brought up Snatcher right there, how video games have changed what's allowed and what's not. You know, look at how shocking Mortal Kombat was in 1992. I'm talking the arcade version.
Yes.
Just remember how shocking.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's nothing. A cell phone game is more graphic than Mortal Kombat.
I've seen SpongeBob episodes more graphic than
exactly.
Mortal Kombat.
It's like the video games have changed so much.
But in a good way, because not only have, they've gotten grosser, and they've gotten a little bit more shocking in the gore department every now and then, but at least also their characters have gotten deeper.
Right, but at the same time, do we really need Kratos taking a bunch of women to bed
yes.
in God of War?
Yes, we do.
Did we really need... Does the hot coffee mod really add to the storyline of Grand Theft
no,
Auto 3?
No, that's why it wasn't in the damn game.
No, it was in the game.
No.
You had to unlock it. It was always built into the game.
Yeah, but they decided to leave it
right,
out
but
of
it was
game.
Built into it, so I somebody thought it was that. Necessary originally.
Yeah, and then they made a smart decision and went, no, and then some hackers got a hold of the code, but... Nonetheless, yeah, you're right. This it doesn't really add to the game in a lot of ways. It makes sense in the God of War universe. I mean, that whole vase falling off the thing, it makes sense within the universe, but yeah. And well, speaking of shocking, not only was Mortal Kombat shocking, but Custer's Revenge.
81,
horrible,
man.
Horrible, horrible game.
No gameplay involved. Well, not even just that. There was also Beat 'em and Eat 'em.
Beat 'em and Eat 'em, yeah. And you had all this stuff for the Atari 2600. And I remember my dad bringing this stuff home going, hee-hee-hee-hee-hee-hee-hee. Guess what I got? Hee-hee-hee-hee. You know, and it was something
1990s
wild.
Nokia phones had more graphical power than those games did.
Taking that one long straight piece on Tetris and throwing it in and making a Tetris, that's more sexual than and I think more gratifying than Custer's Revenge, frankly.
At least you get a doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Exactly.
And then all the pieces vanish.
Oh, Tetris.
I wouldn't say orgasmic, but okay.
But no, and I guess the whole point of this episode is it's really, really strange how we've changed, how some stuff that would shock us back, you know, 20 years ago are
this
pretty commonplace now. But at the same time, some of the stuff that was commonplace back then, you get blurblobbed out, or when you do see it unedited, you're like, whoa, how, you know.
Well, like, in all honesty, the actual language used in All in the Family, even though, like, an According to Jim episode is more graphic, you could not get away with the language used by Archie Bunker back then.
Right.
And so it's kind of funny that 1970s television was more open than 1990s television was in that regard.
So this is a trick question for you. So which do you prefer, the 1970s television and the Archie Bunker type era, and Sanford and Son also broke some ground, especially if you were African American?
Oh my God, I saw.
Hang on.
Okay.
Or would you prefer late 80s, early 90s television, pre 95, as per everything you love? But which, you know, versus television of today, do you have a preference?
I would definitely say 70s through mid 80s television, because my favorite TV show of all time was 87. So I'll do the cutoff at 87.
Okay. And what was your favorite TV show of all time?
Max Headroom.
Good.
Great show. But I saw Sanford and Son once on TV Land, and I couldn't believe that this was not edited out. That is a perfect example of you could never do this even in a black sitcom today. He had some traffic violation, so he was in traffic court, and the whole jury or whatever, you know, it spun out of control. It was all black guys. He goes, "There's more niggers in that jury box than a goddamn Tarzan movie." And I'm like, holy shit. First of all, that joke's funny.
Yeah, that was Red Fox to the core.
But can you believe that aired on TV and that you would never be able to get with one of the Wayans brothers saying there's more niggers in that jury box than a Tarzan movie? They'd never be able to get away with that.
The only person I could see doing a line like that and playing it straight and getting away with it, Mel Brooks.
Yeah, and he's white.
Yeah.
And Jewish.
I know.
So
he's a honky kike.
Hookah, de daka de nas. Blazing Saddles, where he's playing the Jewish Indian. He's using all, he's the Indians all speak Yiddish in that.
Yep. And then, of course, in Spaceballs.
De daka de nas.
Yeah.
All right. The last couple of minutes. LostInTheStaticShow@gmail.com. If you guys have a topic you want us to cover, email us. If it's stupid, we won't do it. If it's good, we're definitely going to do it, just like Ethan Dexter's suggestion for tonight. I don't know if this is how he wanted us, because we went pretty off topic,
but
he planted the germ of the idea there.
That's right.
And then you can hear us on Stitcher Smart Radio and on Stitcher Radio, and download us at iTunes and, you know, lostinstaticshow@gmail.com and 1201beyond.com and Scott's got some crap.
It's Murray75. Catch me on Another Pagan Podcast if you'd like.
And our Facebook page.
That way, and our Facebook page, facebook.com/lostinthestatic. So thanks a bunch for joining us, everybody.